Right, you're good to go.
I am.
Yay! Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening and watching from. And of course, for season two, this episode is brought to you by the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy with the amazing Dr. Simone Alicia. There is a wealth of resources there to help with your child's self-esteem and confidence and so much more. So I'll put the link in the description below. You can have a look at that. I highly recommend it, especially for the topic we're going to talk about today. I have another amazing guest today, and she came on previously. Have your book somewhere. Hold on. This is me not being fully ready this morning. But she did write I love this book. Honestly, I'm still running through. This is going to be one of those books that I'm going to keep going back to, but it's Letters from You to You. And it's kind of through this book that we started to have this conversation on the topic that we're going to talk about today. So Ellie La Liberté is here with me. And we're going to talk about traumas, childhood traumas, because we are talking about healing, and we're both on our own self-healing journeys that keeps evolving. This book is amazing because I find it such I've done a lot of the healing stuff that felt a little rough, but this to me, and I know it's not going to feel like that for everybody, but for me, it was just kind of a gentle way of dealing. Like the letters in this book had a gentle voice for me. And I know some people may not experience the book the same way, depending on where you are, but that was a good sign for me. I was like, oh, I needed to hear it this way, you know? And it kind of got us talking about, because we focus so much on our childhood traumas coming from the family. And it kind of opened up into, yeah, but we're going through a lot of trauma in schools as well. And we're not doing this to throw the schools under the bus. I mean, there's a lot of different realities there as well. But we are disregarding, we really are as adults, disregarding the experiences that we went through in school. And some of them are quite traumatizing. And not looking at that when we're going at, if you're in a good home environment growing up, you know, we all have our little hiccups, but nothing traumatizing that much. But then you realize that, wait a minute, how was school for you? I do that a lot with the hypnotherapy, is if nothing is coming up in the home front, I kind of take them to school and stuff comes up there. So I was just gonna put the spotlight on you, Ellie, and you can kind of talk about your experience with our conversations and your book and how it all kind of came up to the point and say, wait a minute, school was the thing for me. Can you kind of share with us what was happening
Actually, that was triggered by one of your
there?
thinking. I'm pretty sure it was one of your kind of like reels that
Yeah.
was speaking of probably sh like I said, I'm not 100% sure of what you were saying, but I know that it triggered in me where I was kind of like, holy shit, like my biggest trauma has been schools, like it has been my school years, and I'm just realizing this right now. And what I can share about this is that I do believe that with healing there are levels of readiness, and I think that we did talk about that in the last podcast that we did, but I want to remind people that sometimes there's a level of readiness to receive information about something in your past that traumatized you. Because you can't just digest everything at the same time. You would freak out, you know? And it's already a very big thing to go inside of yourself and have that courage to look at your inner child, you know, trauma. And so I do believe that I was somehow not ready to receive what I've received only this year. I swear to you, it is amazing to me. It just shows me how everything is very well. I think like that there's a divine timing, and that's true for everything within
So
you
true.
and in your life that appears in front of you. And it's so, and you're not in control of what can come up. Like it's not you that decides when something will come up and show you what you need to heal, obviously, you know. And there are events in your life that are there to bring that to you when the time is ready. And sometimes there's many events that are going to come in and trigger that, but it's kind of like your readiness to go and look at the root of it, it's still not there. You're still going to see something about that aspect of you, but you're not going to fully understand it yet. And so that's kind of what I feel was going on with me, where, I've been through a massive and a couple of time, but a massive healing process of going deep inside of myself and going to discover my childhood trauma. And since 2021, I've been doing that, and I've had like I feel like it's been like episodes. I can clearly see myself where I am, where I was every time that I had Dark Night of the Souls, and kind of went through the healing, purging, the purging of it. But I know I do not remember going through the time when I was in school. I remember only trying to understand my trauma through, my family and my parents, and seeing maybe the ancestral line as well as to what were the patterns and why I'm still experiencing what I'm experiencing. But this year, I guess I was ready to.
Ready or not, here we go.
And it's funny because I know now that I can handle it. I believe that back then, when I was starting my healing process to go deep inside of myself, I don't believe that I could have handled that, because it was so much of a big, school. We're in school since the age of five, four until we're 18, right? So I don't believe that I could have wrapped my head around the fact that that was my biggest childhood trauma, because it went on for so long, But this year, the way that I received it, and I think that it's kind of important to talk about that. And it's funny because the thing too is that I don't believe that I felt safe talking about this before. So it's probably why my consciousness was not ready to receive it fully, because I would have probably been, I don't know, harshly criticized by the system or whatever. But now I feel like, because, and it's the same thing with my book, the way that I wrote my book, I don't think that I could have written a book like this even 2 years ago. It would not have been well received at all. And people would have been like, what the hell is this? You're crazy, So now it's the same thing with that. It's like, I feel like now, because there's so much more that is being talked about this, and yes, the systems are being revealed as being very corrupted and false in so many areas of our life right now. So now I feel kind of it's a little bit more, just safer for me to just talk about it and be very, very real and authentic about, and also because I don't have the humility that comes with it. I think that before, because my self-esteem was a lot lower, I would have been ashamed to talk about my childhood trauma around school, because people would have thought like, oh my God, she was just dumb or whatever the case may be. But now, because I have that confidence of, oh no, I'm very intelligent today and I know it, it's kind of easier now to speak about this in a confident way of saying like, you know what, this is what fucked me up. Sorry for the
Yeah,
language. This.
no, let's flat out use the right word there. We're not sugarcoating this because we've been
And
sugarcoating
if
it since school existed.
If it wasn't for my own resilience and my own determination to self-educate, I don't believe that I would be the person that I am today, And so, yeah, the way that I kind of received this was, I'm an entrepreneur since the age of 21, and I also understand now why I decided to be an entrepreneur, and it's all related to this school thing, but I've been struggling, for a couple of years with just having a lot of flow with my finances. Being an entrepreneur, there's really no stability. It's always about like, and it depending on what you're doing, but with the way that I've created my businesses, it has always been like it's month to month. So you don't know what in the other month, you don't know how much you're going to get. And so it's always been like I had to navigate that. And yes, it was a choice. So a lot of people could say, yeah, well, you could have just, gone and get a normal job, 9 to 5, and you would have had that stability. You wouldn't have freaked out every month or whatever, right? Absolutely. People are correct with that. Although I don't like being stuck in a system and I don't like being stuck in a box. And this is the reason why I'm more joyful going through maybe difficulties with my finances, but having the freedom of not, being doing things against my values, right? So the conviction for me to stay an entrepreneur for a couple of reasons that were healthy, but a couple of reasons that may not have been healthy because of the trauma that I was not understanding as well. So I can admit that there was trauma there, and this is the reason why I've been an entrepreneur online all of my life, even though sometimes it was difficult for me, and a lot of times, to be honest.
Well,
And
for
so,
those, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but
yeah, that's okay.
you really touched it there. Is for those who don't understand, when you're just are not made to fit in a box, the 9 to 5 is worse,
Oh
for
yeah,
us to deal with.
it
It's
is.
even more
It's
stressful. It's
painful.
even more taxing on us
It is.
because we don't function in that structured
No.
everybody, like I call it the clones, everybody's doing the same. So yeah, you really touched it on it. It's get the government job. I had a government job and I had to leave it because I was going insane. So I completely understand, but
Yeah.
yeah,
And
it's real.
sometimes it's not because we don't want to. Like my brother, my sister, they're working for the government, and they seem to love what they're doing. And I saw them many times. I would see them and be like, I wish that I could have that kind of life, just because I know that they have more stability in that life. But I also know that my capacity to stay in that would be extremely hard. And it was even difficult for me to even explain myself, let's say, to my brother about that, and who my brother thought, like, you're complicating your life all the time with your business. Why don't you just go and get something like this, like what I have? And it was even complicated for me to be able to explain to him, like, why I, it's not that I'm dumb, it's not that I can't learn. It was really, the feeling of being stuck in a job that is not stimulating me. And it comes to the same thing with my school, is what I'm gonna say. It was not going to make me feel, I was gonna be very, very depressed, and I probably would not even be able to excel in whatever task that I would be asked to do. And I know that. So, and it's hard. I feel like it's hard for, I'm not going to say a culture because it's not a culture, but for those who are not entrepreneurs and have had jobs all of their lives, it's kind of another world, I feel. And I feel that it's difficult sometimes for them to wrap their heads around, like, the fact that we want to continue to be in an unstable environment and just live this kind of lifestyle, So both worlds are hard to kind of understand each other. That's how I'm going to see it,
There's some people who do need that structure, so they function better in that 9 to 5 desk job. And there's some that, I mean, none of them are wrong. It's just you have to accept what works for you. And
For sure. So yeah, it's not a thing about being wrong or right here. It's a thing about, like, what I want to express on this show with you is I think that I want to probably inspire or help understand maybe parents that can understand their child better, as my mom probably, and my parents probably struggled understanding me all of my life, and I couldn't even understand myself. And but now I have clarity. So, and I know that there's a lot more people like me, more kids that are the same as me that may not have that understanding because they're not adults yet, that they can't do that work, but maybe if there are examples of people like me that went through that, and they can see that, oh my God, okay, this is the reason why I have a difficult time learning. And I, there's just can be a lot of clarity for both sides, So what I was kind of going at with this is that I was understanding lately is because I do this work, and I know that I always have to go deeper into the reasons that, the surface kind of feelings that I'm experiencing in my life. And there is this constant feeling that I've been experiencing, especially with my work, and comparing myself as well with other entrepreneurs and other people that have stable jobs and whatever, where I always felt like I was failing, right? So I was putting my business as, let's say, my business was going a little bit more down the hill because I was just being done with it, really. But it was just feeling like, oh wow, it was something else that I didn't succeed in, right? So it's the same thing with my new career now. I'm in transition, so I have to let myself, take the time to have something be developed, and I need patience with that and everything. But there's still this insecurity, and at least it was very, very big before, where I'm going to fail again, right? And I didn't understand where that came from, so it was always just draining me, because I was like, why do I keep on feeling like I'm going to fail? Like, where does this come from, And lately, to my surprise, I was just in my car and I had an argument with someone about finances again. And it was just like, I felt this feeling again of failing. And I was like, why do I keep on feeling like I'm a failure and I'm not succeeding in anything and nothing? And I know that, I'm an exceptional person and I do a lot of great things. And, I just wrote this book that's amazing and everybody loves it. So it's, there's no excuse for me to feel this way, And I was just like, what is this? And kind of had another release where I needed to go and hold my inner child once more. And I did a breath work, and it was clear as like, it was instantly clear where I was having this insight. This, my higher self was clearly telling me, like, you're holding your inner child right now and letting her know that she is not wrong. It is the system that is wrong. She never did anything wrong. It was always just the system. She did not fit in the system. And because she did not fit in the system, she felt like she was always deceiving everybody. She was always doing something wrong, and she was a nobody because she did not fit. But what my higher being was kind of telling me while I was holding this little girl, which was me, was fitting in. Is it not fitting in, sorry, not fitting in the system is actually very powerful. And this
It
is
is.
what you needed to know when you were a kid, is that you are extremely powerful because you're not fitting in the system. You're able to be something extraordinary because you're not following the lines and you're actually being very creative and having your own kind of perspective about life. And like I've always had this, I was always looking at other people since I was a really young girl and being like, this is what's going on right now, questioning the system all the time, because I was like, I don't understand why people, they work the way that they work and they have no life, and then they come home and they drink and they numb themselves out. And like, I knew at a very young age that that was not normal. And I also knew unconsciously that being in school and sitting in class for an entire day and not understanding shit, and then just doing that this every single day was also not normal, and not having the help that I kind of need and being dismissed. And so at that point, I could clearly understand. But the reason why I was always feeling like I was failing and that it kept with me all of my life is because I thought that I was wrong. That I was wrong for from the age of 4 until at the end of my high school, and then going even to work. The first couple of times I went to work, I was still wrong because I was still not fitting in, because I couldn't follow the rules. And if I would, not be fast enough to learn something, then I would be wrong again, and too slow. I've been called so many things. And this is where I said, like, holy shit, my biggest trauma is school. It wasn't just my parents. Like, I mean, it was a lot. It was in school because I have been dismissed, I don't know how many times, by teachers. I have, compared myself continuously with other students that were having really high grades, and thinking that because I don't have, this is what we get told, like, if we don't have high grades, then you're not succeeding. So I was failing. I was a failure, obviously, for the system, because I wasn't getting those high grades. And so my value, I had no value for the system, right? For society, I was a failure. I was dumb. I was too slow. And so it really, really came to me where I was like, holy shit. So this is the reason why I continue to think that I'm going to be failing in everything in my life, because I still am stuck in that energy of not understanding that the entire time I wasn't the problem. And so every other kid is also not the problem. The problem is that the system is not being changed. It's always the same thing. And it's identifying kids as, if you don't do this the right way from our perspective of the system, then you're a failure and you're nothing and you're not going to go anywhere in life. The people, the students that are excelling, that have the really high grades, oh, they're going to go really far in life, but they're always going to follow the rules and they're never going to question anything.
They're the ones that we
So
need to
yeah,
worry about.
they're more intelligent than you, because they're never going to question anything and they're just going to continue to just follow the rules and fall into line. But us that are considered kind of rebels, because we don't want to follow everything, because it doesn't really appeal to us all that much, because it doesn't stimulate us enough in our capacity of learning, then we're failures and we don't know shit and we're never going to succeed in anything. So it's just mind-blowing to me today to see, like, oh my God, how much the system is fucking up kids early on because they're not stimulated enough. And now I understand that, my capacity of learning back then was very limited because I was not stimulated. I wasn't stimulated by teachers. And unfortunately, like, I don't want to blame teachers, because I mean, teachers have to follow the system as well, right? And the curriculum and all of that. So I'm not blaming the teacher per se, but some teachers were just, yeah, following the rules. And the thing is that it felt like they were not passionate about anything. And that was not stimulating to me. If I would have had more teachers that would have been passionate about what they're teaching and what they're, the way that they're teaching their kids as well, I know that I would have learned way better, because then I have that stimulation and this is the way that I learn. And I know, because I self-taught so much with, spiritual leaders out there and all of the books that I've read. And I wasn't even interested in reading one book when I was in school. Like, no one was showing me that I could be even interested in learning, through books by myself on my own in my little freaking bubble, in the way that I can take my time to do it and not be rushed and not be, evaluated upon the way that I am doing things, and just know that, wow, I have this incredible book in my hand and I have all of this time to just, evaluate it and be interested in it. And if I don't like it, I don't like it. Can I please have something else that I can choose, that I know that's going to be exciting for me just by the title of the book or something like that? Like, this is what we were not getting as kids, is like, how can you be creative in a system that is only bringing what is always brought to every student, and think that every student is going to learn the same thing and appreciate everything the same way? It's insane.
It's insane when you think that school hasn't changed in over 300 years. This is something's wrong. And everything that you've said, everything that you've been through, and you're not the only one. I can speak from personal experience as well. My first memories growing up when you're 3, 4 years old is looking at the adults going, how are they in charge? Like it was just, and I wasn't being cocky or anything like
No,
that. It just
exactly. It's
didn't
not
make
that.
sense. I'm like, do they not realize they don't make any sense right now? And it's the same, that one message that parents should give, because I work a lot with, and I'll mention that, what trauma could potentially look like in children for schools. But for parents, we need to start putting in that message. If that your child is being labeled as being, the failure, there's no such thing as a child cannot fail. They're only doing what they're taught. It's there's the children that are supposedly failing are showing how the system is failing them. It's the other
Exactly.
way around. And
It
children,
absolutely is.
for children, the adults are always perfect. So it's if there's something that's not right, children, that's just the way the brain is wired, they will automatically think that there's something wrong with them. So we're beating ourselves up. All right, what is it? 14 years, 13, 14 years of the most important years in our social and
Development.
emotional development. We're being told, and we are telling ourselves that we are the worst people, when it's the other way around. The world is failing you. and you're taking that on, that's some huge trauma. But for school, it doesn't have to be a child that's being picked on every day. And again, I'm kind of going to be going over some of the stuff that autistic children may go through, but just being rejected completely, not, and then I'm not talking about the students, the teachers unknowingly are rejecting those children. They're like, oh,
Absolutely.
this is a lot of work for me. Just the nonverbal, the child is picking that up, going, okay, there's something wrong with me, I'm bad. And but we don't realize the kid, the teachers are exhausted. They're spread thin. They're overworked, and the system is working against them. So they're just as bad, being told that they're lazy, unmotivated, where in fact, like you said, you're not being stimulated. And not only that, but because you are being traumatized in school, your brain shuts down. You can't learn. You're in
No, you
survival
can't.
mode. You're in
Exactly.
survival mode. So you can't, you're traumatizing these kids and expecting them to learn. If all you're concerned about is your reading and mathematics statistics so you can get more funding, create a good learning, a healthy learning environment to your students, and you'll see the results go up right away. You will get even more funding if you actually create a healthy learning environment. Because if you're having them run on the caveman brain, if we can say, they're not going to learn to read properly. They're not going to get their math to add up. So what are we
Yeah, because
creating?
there's a blockage that there, right? So what I was
Exactly.
experiencing even in my adulthood, like, or I can give you an example when I was excelling in something, but wanting, like, my mom wanted me to so I'm a singer, and I was singing since the age of, and that I was excelling in that because I was an artist and I was really incredible at that. And I was taking singing lessons, and it's funny because we had that talk with my singing teacher that I hadn't seen in a long time, and we were speaking about that. And I remember my mom wanted me to take a piano lessons because she thought, like, you know what, if you take piano lessons, then you can play piano and sing at the same time. It's really good for you. And I was like, I guess I was interested in taking the piano lessons, but what I was not interested in, and it's not because I didn't want to learn it. I think now today it's not because I didn't want to learn it. It was because I was traumatized of I didn't want to fail at it. So I didn't even want to try because I was so afraid of failing again and being criticized as you can't learn, right? And so I wasn't able to learn the theory, the musical theory, all of the notes, and trying to memorize what they mean. And that for me was more difficult because it wasn't like I sing and I hear everything. My ear is almost perfect pitch. So for me, that's not difficult. And I'm stimulated in that because I like to practice that and I like to, but when it came to, again, it was kind of like something that I needed to learn that I wasn't able, like I was used to. And automatically I remember like shutting down my teacher and saying, like, I don't understand this and I don't want to do this. Like, I just didn't want to do it. I didn't want to learn it. And she wasn't understanding why I didn't want to try. But like today, I don't think that back then I could have explained this. But today I know for sure why I didn't even want to try, because I'm so afraid of failing. Because I've been told that I'm failing everything. So it was like I didn't have that confidence of even trying. I just wanted to stick to the thing that I knew that I was excelling at, because that was bringing me joy and that was making me feel worthy. But the other part was going to make me feel like I'm disappointing someone again, and especially I'm disappointing my mom, right? And my mother, unfortunately, she was a teacher. So, because she was a teacher and part of the system, she had high expectation of me having those, grades. And I don't remember her being too hard on me, but I remember her being very persistent at wanting me to excel and have those high grades and have more of the ability to just to fit in the system, right? So, and I get that, even as a parent, that's just normal because you don't want your children to fail. But at the same time, like, she was very prone system of school because she's part of it. So it's kind of like Really, I it's not like my mom would have kind of like she wouldn't really take my side in the sense where if I had a difficult time learning in school, well, she couldn't be like, oh my God, well, they're teaching you this wrong, like you shouldn't be learning this way. Like, no, she was pretty prone, like, no, this is what you need to do because this is the way it is, and this is good for you, and you should learn it this way, blah, blah, blah. Normally, because she was a teacher, right? So I'm not blaming her in that, but it's just that it was another way of me having pressure. I have to be at the standard of my mom, who's a teacher, who's incredibly intellectual. And if I'm not there, then I'm failing her again. I'm so failing everyone in school because I'm not getting it. And then I go home, I have a difficult time, let's say, with my homework, because I'm also not interested in doing this homework that I feel that does not help me, it, like, evolve, to be honest. But then I have my mother who is giving me that, that kind of expectation that I need to do the homework, and if I don't, then there's just so many things that make us feel like we're unworthy in school. Like, and if I didn't do the homework, then my mom needs to write a note in my agenda to justify why I didn't do the homework, instead of being like, she didn't understand it. Like, stop giving her a hard time. And why don't you just ask questions of why she may not be understanding it, instead of just, giving her a grade to let her know that she's failing again, and then, automatically what we see, because we're young and we compare ourselves with, we're kids, we're learning from other people all the time. And I remember just, seeing all of these other kids who would have stars because they were having high grades, and I would never get any because I was not understanding anything, That didn't make me feel better to want to ex success, like have success. It was kind of like a way of manipulating kids that, if you're getting bad grades and you're not understanding shit, well, you're never going to get those stars. So you better, force yourself to love this, or else you're always going to be looked at as a failure, and all of your peers are also going to see that you're failing. And so it is
It's
insane what it does to kids, and we do believe that we're not intelligent. And I didn't think that I was intelligent, and like, I swear to you, I didn't think that I was intelligent until I was almost 25. I know now, that's crazy. I'm super intelligent, like, and the emotional intelligence is way more developed because I didn't have a choice, because if I wouldn't have survived almost. Like, depression is very common and suicidal for kids who are not fitting in, because we just want to fit in. We think that that's what we need to do, and we need to be part of this system and the programs. Like, anyways,
It's
it's
crazy how
crazy.
it is, and it's crazy too that that's the inner monologue you're gonna get in your head for a really long time. Like, I mean, it took me a while too. I was in my 30s, maybe in the beginning of my 40s, when I really started to look back, because I was working with children, helping them through this. And all of a sudden, I turned back on myself and went, wait, hold on a second. I went through this. Like, it's just, how is it that two generations later, we're still addressing the same issues? And everything you've mentioned, humiliation, shame, I'm not good enough, self-worth, the confidence, all of that is being crushed at school unwillingly. And not just with the students that are struggling. I have to say this, the children who are able to fit into that box also feel those traumatizing, because they're seeing how
Pressure.
the other kids are getting treated, and now they're thinking, any day now this could be me. So they're putting themselves into even more pressure, and so it's across the board traumatizing experience. But all of those, humiliation, shame, fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, feel, these are all things that we are treating in therapy in our adult years. It's at this psychological warfare. And we mentioned this before we started recording, working in schools, if a child is showing signs that they're getting anxious of going home, they don't really want to go home, we are by law required to start asking questions. But we have these children, thousands, millions of children every day for 13 years telling us how anxious they are about going to school. They don't want to be going to school. They're
Absolutely.
afraid of school. They're physically getting sick so that they don't have to go to school.
Yeah,
And
I did that.
the parents are mandated to force their kids to go to school
Yeah,
every day.
I know.
No
It's
questions
insane.
asked. No questions asked. We
No.
the schools need, and when I say school again, I'm not talking about the teachers. The teachers are doing the best. I mean, honestly,
Yeah.
like they're the ones that are keeping us together. But
Yeah.
the people that are making the laws, the people that are making the rules, the people that are looking for that funding, we're dealing with humans. We need
Yeah.
to make that a human experience. So it's why are we not asking questions when our children are not don't want to
Yeah,
go to school?
it's not their
And
fault. It's not
it's
all
not
their
their
fault,
fault. And then
you
the
know?
blame is put on the parent. The parent is saying, well, do your job as a parent. You're a bad parent. You can actually lose your child if you don't send your child to school.
It's
And
crazy.
now the parent has even more pressure to make that for their child to do well in school because now they're being questioned as
Yeah.
parents. It's just a big mess.
Yeah,
And
and there's that pride as well. You know, there's
yeah.
the pride of, you know, my kid needs to be excelling because then what do I look like, you know, as a parent? The ego is still very much there, unfortunately. But
There's still bumper stickers on car to say,
cycles.
my kid has gone to the best university in
Yeah.
the
Oh,
world. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
really? You still need that validation as a parent?
Yeah.
It's powerful. And that's why I was so thankful. When you came in, I think we were talking about learning styles. The most traumatizing thing for a child to begin with is being forced to learn in a way that they can't learn. And just starting with that, let's make it fun for everybody to learn. How about that?
Yeah,
Let's start with that.
for sure.
And that's why when you raise that question, it's like, wait a minute, it's not really at home that my trauma comes from. But a big chunk of your first years, you've been told that you were not supposed to fit in there, and but forced to anyway. And there's
Oh, yeah.
so many kids that go through that.
No, it's very sad. And you know, you're talking about like kids that don't want to go to school and they, you know, that they become sick. And that's the reason why, like, I remember I would have to pretend. I seriously had to pretend. My mom knows this today. But like, and she probably knew it at some point too, but she was not understanding why, that's for sure. But I needed to pretend. I don't know how many times to tell my mom in the morning I would wake up and say, you know, I was acting it out, like, oh my God, I have a stomach, I don't want to go, you know, I mean, my
Discover.
stomach hurts too much, I can't go to school today, mom. And sometimes she would really get mad at me, and then I'm like, I know, but it's like I don't have a choice. And then she said, okay, well, whatever, you know, and she would let me stay home. My dad was working from he would work at night, my mom would work during the day. So I'd stay with my dad all day, right? And my dad knew, like, I wasn't sick, you know, and I was seriously rarely sick, rarely. Every time that but I did that so many times, like, I don't remember how many times I did it, but it was very common. And I just didn't want to go. Like, I didn't want to go to school because I was not well there. And that was not even asked. Like, why, what is the real reason that you don't want to go? That it was never asked. It was just something like, nope, it is what it is, and you have to go. And if you don't go, well, you're, you know, it makes no sense. And every, so yeah, it's just, and it's the same thing with work as well today. It's like you have this work, and then people have been brainwashed that if you miss a day of work, then you're a failure. And then even if you have these days of work, kind of like sick days. Just, I know so many people that work normal jobs and they don't even take advantage of their sick days. They're
Some people.
like, no, I can't do that because if I do that, then, you know, I'm not a good employee. What the hell? Like,
They have
no, you need
years.
me for your mind, for your to take rest and to be with yourself. And no, it's kind of like, no, I'm failing if I don't show up to work one day. You know, it has to be really, really bad if I don't go to, like, I need to be kind of like in the hospital almost for me to
Well,
not
and
go.
even then they're still taking calls and answering emails and then the worst thing
Yeah.
is if the minute that they're gone, they're replaced and work moves on, and people don't see that. But you're right. How many times do we kind of put ourselves on the back burner just to for appearances, you know. And I like how you mentioned the stomach ache, because that's the number one thing for me. Whenever I would hear a child start to say, "My stomach hurts, my head hurts," I knew right away it had nothing to do physically. I would just be like, "Okay, come here," and then just kind of stay with them, calm down, you know, give a hug or something. I worked with the younger kids, so I, you know, a lot of the times, or if my kids, if I would get a call, and it's usually for parents, I'm just going to throw that out there. If it's around lunchtime, after lunch, that's usually when the kids have had, like, they could mask it
Enough.
for the morning, but after lunch is when the stomach hurts, and it's nothing physical. Your child is telling you that they can't take it anymore. If I would get a call from my son's school to say they're complaining of a stomach, I wouldn't ask any question. I'm like, okay, I'm going to come and get him. And then we would just chill for the rest of the afternoon. And my son just recently told me, my oldest one, who's 24 now, he's like, "I used to make it up. I didn't want to be there." And I'm like, "I know. That's why I took you." And he was like, "Really? You knew?" I'm like, "Of course I knew. Like, it's, I work in that environment, so I could see it in the children." And I wasn't a teacher, like a full charge teacher, so I could stay, like, see the bigger picture as a third party going, "You're running with the motions, but I'm seeing how this child is struggling right now. So let me take," I would always take the kids that were struggling in class and be like, "Yep, no, bring them in and let's work that through. Let's calm them down. Let's, you know, give them a little bit of positive experience, and then send them back off to the wolves." But it's
Back off.
working with that. I've had one of my clients, when I said, was saying with hypnotherapy, where you don't know when you're doing the self-healing work, we mentioned with your book there, you never know what's going to come up, especially when you hit the dark night of the soul. You're thinking you're fixing one thing, but something else entirely comes differently. And one of my last clients recently, it was school. It was school related, and she was surprised because she was expecting. We're always trying to treat, okay, what trauma did your mom bring on? What trauma did your dad bring on? But nobody's talking about school. And it was every single thing that we were going through with the treatment, with the session, it was all school related. And when she woke up, she was like, "So why am I still holding on to this then?" I'm like, "Well, that was engraved into you. We need to undo that now." So it's so happy that you wanted to come on and talk about it. You know, we don't have to go into details of what we were struggling with, or but just to talk about the overall emotions that were involved. And
Yeah,
I'm sure
because
every
it is what you remember. It's not the
exactly.
events per se. It's the emotion, it's how you felt when you were in that environment. It's all I remember is the it's a strong emotion of just not fitting in there, and not, I kind of knew I wasn't supposed to be, even be there. It was just an awful experience for me. And you know, I've been kind of judged in a sense where I was called kind of lazy or whatever, like you mentioned before, but it was not about laziness. Like I just wanted to, man, if you look at my, like the way that I learn now things, it's like night and day, because I am just so passionate about learning and learning about life and learning about myself and learning about like things that most people can't even understand. Most people that are caught in these systems, they understand. Like, I am blown away today, like, at the things that I listen to. Let's say I'm listening to a podcast, and it's, I swear to you, I was really not good in school, and I knew it. I wasn't good in school. I wasn't understanding much because I was not stimulated. But what blows my mind, I'm blowing my own mind when I'm watching kind of like a, let's say a podcast, and it's a physicist that is speaking, or a biologist, or anything that has to do with science that is speaking about consciousness, and even like, you know, cells and the intelligence of cells, and the everything that has to do with, like, you know, the last podcast that I just listened to. I was like, I can't believe that I'm understanding all of this. It's insane. It was a 3-hour podcast of this physicist that, you know, invented this theory around 0.0 energy, which was kind of removed at one point, so that it was kind of hidden in a way, obviously, because systems like to hide things so they can keep us in line. But it was just blowing my mind how even though he was using a lot of terms that I don't study, seriously, I never study, you know, that has to do with cells and that has to do with protons and like atoms and like what are in the atoms and all of that. I've never studied that in my life. I've never been interested in studying that because I always felt like I would never be interested in that because it was science and I knew I sucked at science when I was back in school. Like, didn't understand it. But now I'm watching this podcast and I'm like, oh my God, I am understanding everything or most of it anyways that what this person is expressing because I can connect dots with what I know about myself and the way that I've studied my own spirituality and my own consciousness. And now it's kind of like this science is just really it's being explained as well by someone who is super like passionate about his work, right? So just the fact that he is so passionate about what he is you know, studying himself and as this really, really high level physicist that I didn't even know about. It's just blowing my mind how I am like, oh my God, I love everything that he's saying and I'm understanding it. And oh my God, are we ever powerful? And I'm getting all of this. But I would have someone from my school that was having really high grades back in school sitting next to me that was excelling, and they would look at me and being like, what the fuck is this? I can't understand a word that he's saying.
That's right.
You know, this is what blows my mind is that I felt stupid back then because I couldn't learn anything. And today I know 100% sure, and I'm not saying that to be arrogant, but I know that I understand a lot more than most that were very much excelling in back in school and that continued university. If they would have been sitting next to me while watching that podcast, I would have looked at them and I would have said, did you understand anything from this? And they would probably have said like, no, like this is way too much information and I don't understand where he's coming from with all of it. You know what I mean? So it's just
And it's
it's
just
beautiful. It's beautiful in a way that I get to experience this and be like, wow, like my system can receive this now because I learned how to know myself in the way that I should be learning things and without the pressure of society telling me the way that I should learn things.
Exactly.
You
And
know? So I don't know if that makes sense, but
it makes perfect sense. And that's so
the
powerful because
blockage.
now that you know, you can what I call unknit, undo all this knitting. Your entire life you've been told you're not doing this right. Because you just said it, somebody who did well in school would not understand what you just listened to. It goes to pr it proves it shows you that even the children that are doing well are not actually doing well. All they can do is memorize, but once the test is done, once the exam is done, they forget. They don't retain because they were not motivated to learn. The only thing reason why they learn is to have their grades. And let's be honest here, grades is not to show how the student is doing, it's to show how the school
Oh
is doing.
yeah, exactly.
You're,
It's an ego
they're
thing again.
testing the teachers, they're testing the school district. They're not testing the students, but they're putting, how many times are you saying you're not performing enough? Your grades are bad. Yeah, but what are you doing to teach me to be better at
It's
your
very
standardized test? You know, so the test is not, I've seen kids like physically throwing up in the morning for a test. And I would tell them, listen, they're not testing you because they're going to be the ones who are going to be told that they're failing. I'm like, they're testing your teacher. If you don't do well in school, it's because your teacher is not doing well in school. But that's not a conversation you can have
No.
with everybody. And I mean, I teach. I know a lot of people that teach, so I'm not disrespecting the teachers at all. I know how hard it is to teach a
Oh
class
yeah,
of
for sure.
35 students. They're up to 42 in some classes. Some of them, half of the class needs an individualized study plan. So they learn differently. They need different tools, and there's just
Yeah.
one teacher.
And
Still,
there's one
only
teacher. I
one
know. It's
teacher in that
incredible.
class. That teacher should have at least five people helping them, just for that class. And now there's schools right now they don't even have a teacher. They just have substitute teachers for the rest of the school year. The school year just started, not a teacher. How well are they learning there? So, anyways, that's a whole
Oh,
other conversation.
it's yeah, it's very sad. And talking about like the way that they measure the intelligence of these students is with grades and with percentage. It's like really, like I have been, teaching myself for the last 15 years on many subjects around life, which is the most important thing that you have to do because you need to, be an adult, be responsible and survive in your life, which has nothing to do with most subjects that we've been taught in school. And no one has ever came to me and measure the way that I'm learning. That no one has ever came to me and measured my intelligence with a percentage and with a specific grade telling me like that I'm excelling and what I'm learning. That there hasn't been any tests or any, diploma and certification that is telling me like, oh, you're worth it now because you've learned whatever you've learned, and bravo, now you're a worthy human being, and you can do a lot with your life. No, like I don't pride myself in this, but I don't have any certification in everything that I'm learning. Like I'm not here flagging around like, oh, I'm certified in, consciousness, whatever course that people are taking. And there's so much today. There are so many courses out there that has certifications, and I do not dismiss all of this, but people are still identifying their worthiness with a paper telling them that they excelled in what they've been learning, and it is sad because other people also that are wanting to work with, some people, they're expecting to see these certification. And if you don't have this certification, then you're not worth working for, because that means what? You're not intelligent enough?
Or you don't know the matter. That I had a mentor tell me once,
Insane.
it's like certificates, because I have diplomas, but I didn't frame my diplomas. I framed my last student loan payment. That to me was an accomplishment. I
Nice.
paid off my student loans.
Yes.
I actually had the zero balance on my wall. I
Nice.
don't even know where my diplomas are right now, but I had a mentor tell me, stop stressing, because I know if I had the doctorate, people would take me more seriously. But I'm the one rolling around on the floor with the kids. I was the one punched in the face by a child that was having a meltdown. I was the one that was thrown up and everything, every bodily fluids. And so I have, he was saying, it's not the diploma. He says everybody can get a driver's license, but not everybody's a good driver. And that stuck to me. And that's what I tell students now, is everybody can have a driver's license. Is everybody a good driver? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, that's the same with diplomas. Everybody can get a diploma. It's what you do with it after that matters. And that's what I would like to know as an interviewer. Say, okay, you have the doctorate, great. What are you doing with it? Because I have a degree in physics. I could say I'm a physicist. I haven't touched physics in 20 years. I'm not gonna say, yeah, I'm a physicist, I haven't touched physics. I can teach it to young kids. I love it, but I'm not going to declare myself a physicist because I have a diploma. That's I haven't used it. You put me in the lab now, and I would be the slowest one there just because I haven't touched it in so long. I mean, the
Because it's
planets.
about practicing it, right?
Exactly. If you're not using it, it's useless. So what are you doing with your diploma? You got a diploma, but you're sitting in an office. You're not in the field. You're not using it. You're not that qualified yet, so it's hard. It's a hard conversation, but we'll do that on the end. I could talk to you all day about this. I think we'll have to do another one, but I just appreciate the fact that you wanted to be vulnerable and explain with the trauma that you have gone through. And I know for a fact that everybody has their story about school. Without knowing, if they thought about it now, if they're listening to this episode right now and go, oh, wait a minute, yeah, school was horrible, even down to the school bus, any kind of transport. And even the ones who did do well in school are struggling. So let's
Oh
keep that open.
yeah, for sure.
Let's
I think that it's there's, two spectrums. I mean, the
Yeah.
ones that are excelling really, really well, which
Yeah.
are only identified as the student who's excelling well, and so they have all of this pressure to keep them
Yeah.
from performing, and they can't be a real kid and just be creative because they're so
There's
stuck on achieving something and being intellectual. And then you have the kid like me that was not fitting in at all and just being dismissed all the time and not being seen as important because she didn't have the same grades that someone else would have. And so I was weird, or I was kind of like too slow, called many things that affected me my entire life, So it's very destructive. And I'm just, with all of this, what I wanted to do with you with this episode was not necessarily to bitch about the system and the fact that we're, just mad at it, but more about like bringing a awareness to society, the entire society about like there are other ways of seeing your life, and there are other ways of, just exploring your abilities to learn things and opening up your heart and opening up your mind to just the immense resources that are out there for us to get to know the way that we love to learn, and it's not just restricted to what we've been taught back in school, because that was again part of the system. And so how can kids really just be okay with wanting to discover the way that they want to learn, what stimulates them? And so this has to change for sure. And I mean, like, if there's not enough people like me that speak about this, then we're not going to see this change. So my goal with this is just to inspire kids that, that are not understanding why they don't fit in, and to start questioning themselves and know that, that they're not doing anything wrong, that it's not about being wrong and failing because of what they've been told by their parents or their teachers with grades and whatever, that it doesn't make sense, and that's where they can't develop self-esteem. And fortunately, I don't know why, but I was put on this earth to be very resilient and to overcome this and be strong enough to start questioning my life and questioning all of this at the age of 21. But I mean, there's a lot of people that probably went through what I've went through in schools, and I've never been able to question that because they didn't have the maybe they didn't have the support, or they didn't have the independency enough to be able to just start evaluating themselves. So it's unfortunate for that. But right now, with the internet, with everybody that is so connected and all of the things that we are talking about, I think there's a really great opportunity for kids to learn this early on. And so when they go into their adulthood, they're not stuck with this identity of feeling like they can't learn anything because they were not good at school. They are so much more. They're so much bigger than what they've been taught, with something that's very constrict like that, with the system. So yeah, so let's see what this comes from. And I really hope to make a change.
I do invite people that are listening to this, if that resonated with you, share your com in the comments how that how you felt about that, or how it was for you in school, and what do you wish somebody had told you when you were in school? Because I think we do need to put the emphasis, even if it, not knowing where to start, at least to start telling the children that they're not the ones failing. It's the system that's failing them. Let's change that narrative straight off the bat. Hold the right people accountable, the decision makers, the lawmakers, everybody else involved. This system hasn't changed in hundreds of years. We're not raising factory workers anymore. We're raising world leaders. Let's change that up a little bit to make them feel like they belong because they do belong there.
Yeah,
There's just different. We need leaders,
we need
and
leaders now.
we need to stop raising sheep. So let's put the focus on that. As a parent, you are your child's first educator. Teachers, just to don't admit that your employers are failing them, but just seek out that support and talk to the parents. We're on the same team. Talk to the
Yeah.
parents and say, there's so much more we could do. I'm limited, but here are the resources you need to keep going. Let's stop blaming each other for the same mistakes. So no, you're absolutely. Thank you so much, Ellie. And again, if you're ready to heal, letters from you to you, I will put the link so you can have a look at it. And I can put your website on as well, Ellie, so people can
Sure.
see the kind of work that you do. It's incredible work. And again, like I said, this is a book I'm going to keep reading because every time I read a letter, I think back 2 years ago, I would not have been ready to read this letter, but now I am. And I was able to read some of those letters where I'm like, oh my goodness, I managed to pass that. Like I'm not going to say I'm healed, because every time you say you healed, something else
Yeah.
comes up that tells you,
Yeah,
we're not done. But that I've passed that because it's not triggering me anymore. I'm at peace with this. And this is what I meant. Your book is so soothing to me. It did trigger me in some points where I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not reading this letter yet. So I'm going to pass. But then I know when I'm ready to read it, I will have done the work that I needed to do. So I encourage anybody, no matter where you are in your healing process, even if you're just thinking about it, just reading it will help you to get started. So thank you for sharing
Thank
this. I
you.
mean, for somebody who was told that they weren't very good students, you have two books under your belt, and you're helping hundreds and thousands, well, hundreds and thousands of people through their journey as well. So appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. It was awesome, awesome conversation.
Yeah, that was fun. We'll have to do that again because I think there's
Absolutely.
definitely more. There are more layers to this, so we can
Yes.
continue again. We're not bashing anybody. This wasn't just a venting session. It's just we need to start somewhere. And so please join in on the conversations in the comments. And don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening and watching from. And don't forget to check out Ellie's work as well. There's a wealth of resources there as well. So until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.